You are now tuned into the United Pulse podcast.
Hey, yo, what it do, baby? Back again, like we told you, with another episode of the United Pulse podcast. I am your host, Snacks, not Eames. That's how you know it's twisted now. Joined as always by my man, the myth, the legend, the oracle, Eames. How you doing, Eames?
Oh, man. Yeah, it is what it is. That was a tough L.
What were you saying? Sorry?
I'm saying that was a tough L, man. I mean, what did we just watch? That was miserable.
All right, no sugarcoating it. Let's get right into it, I guess. Manchester United, Young Boys 2, Manchester United 1. Literally the worst team in this group we lost to. Classic Manchester United. You wouldn't expect anything less.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lineup was fine. Had no problems with it. Team looked good.
Can I take a victory lap for calling Fred and DVB?
Sure. Yeah, you can take your ceremonious lap if you want. Go ahead. I'll wait.
I just took it. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all agree, including Colin, who's kind of a dingus. It was the red card. That's what changed the game. Obviously, you know, to the surprise of literally no one. But it's actually kind of pathetic how weak we are, because we literally saw Chelsea get a red card and draw against one of the best teams in Europe in the Premier League. And we can't even beat, like, the worst team probably in the Champions League. It's kind of embarrassing when you think about it. I'm kind of over the loss now, you know. But it's just, yeah. Go ahead, Eames. I don't know. You said you wanted to beef this episode. You were very adamant you were going to beef.
No, I didn't. Basically, listeners know. Usually when United lose, there's some hot tension on here. But I guess you kind of hinted at it in the beginning. I think since we all agree on the reason we lost, it's tough to kind of argue about it. Like, I'm pretty sure we all agree we lost because of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think we all agree that is, in fact, a red card. I don't know. I haven't really been online or anything like that.
I mean, I still firmly believe, like, I think in the Champions League, that'll be given as a red card 10 out of 10 times.
Absolutely.
But in the Premier League, I would not be surprised if they give a yellow for that. Because even though he did take the extra time, like, it was all Wan-Bissaka's fault, because I looked away and I thought he was trying to win the ball and he hit him in the ankle. And that's why I said, oh, it's a yellow. But on replay, he had the ball, miscontrolled it, went to the defender, he stamped him. And, like, we all know Wan-Bissaka isn't that guy. Like, I don't know what happened, but, yeah.
Would you say he started the season a little slow, a little shaky? Or is that just recency bias?
I think to an extent, yeah. I don't think you're wrong.
Right? Yeah, I think especially when you look at, like, our back four, Luke Shaw appears to be back, kind of, I guess. He's playing well again. I don't think he's on the same form he was at the start of last season, but he looks like he's good again. Obviously, Maguire and Veron have been class. I think even Lindelof was pretty good today.
Oh, I don't know about class is a very strong word.
I mean,
they've been good. I mean, Maguire and Veron.
You can't complain.
That goal against Newcastle, they were both trash. And today, Veron was garbage on the equalizer.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I look at it and I think Wan-Bissaka kind of, I'm taking a Colin term here, but a weak link a little bit, energy there. So, I don't know. I mean, I've been telling United fans, I'm going to make a public service announcement to all the United fans listening right now. Buy Dalot stock. Buy the dip. Dalot stock is very cheap right now. This is it. This is your chance right now to jump on the Dalot bandwagon. He's going to play the next 3 games in the Champions League. He's probably going to get a game here and there in the FA Cup, maybe in the Carabao Cup as well. I think we do have one of those games coming up soon. I might be completely wrong on that, so don't quote me there. But I'm just saying buy Dalot stock. That's all I'm trying to say. I think this is it. This is his chance to shine a little bit. I think I got Colin on board on the Dalot side. But you don't love Dalot. All right. Answer this for me. Is it that you don't like Dalot? And be honest, don't lie. Is it that you don't like Dalot, or is it that you just really, really like Aaron Wan-Bissaka?
I think it's a combination of both. It has nothing to do with not liking Dalot. I just don't care about him. I have no feelings towards him. I think he has a pretty nice right foot. That's about it. That's all I see.
You don't like that little step over
move? No, I hate it. It pisses me off. You're not a right winger. You're a right back. Defend, bro. Like, instead of practicing your stupid skills, learn how to defend like Wan-Bissaka does. Then I can at least... Because here's my problem, bro. Here's my problem, right? I don't necessarily disagree, because we're bringing group chat stuff into the episode here. I think, what is it, Colin said, the more and more, as time goes on and the better we get, it's clear that Wan-Bissaka is a weak link. I don't think he's necessarily wrong in certain areas. Offensively, the guy's not good. Like, let's just be clear about it. I've tried defending this guy offensively. He ain't it defensively. But when you have a guy who can lock down, this is my point. When you have a guy who can lock down an entire flank by himself that needs no one to track back for him, the disrespect he gets because people want to see a guy cross the ball is wild to me. And that's what gets me upset. I don't mind that low. I really don't care. Like, but it's like, if you were to go in and say, after this game, and no one's like this, you know, no one, at least we know, is like this, to say, oh, Dalot's a better option than Wan-Bissaka right back.
No, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Go watch tennis, bro. This sport is just too complicated for you.
But do you think that Dalot kind of, by fault of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, has now earned himself a little bit of a run?
Yeah, I mean, who else do you put there? We don't have another right back.
No, but even in the Premier League?
No. Absolutely.
Like,
not.
Do you punish? Okay.
No, you don't punish Wan-Bissaka. You don't punish him.
Okay.
The amount of times this guy has literally saved us. I'm pretty sure he saved us against Wolves not too long ago with the goal line clearance.
Yeah, true.
But
true,
he got a red card today, so he's garbage. That's what people react to.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, here's the thing. I don't think you punish him either, especially, like you said, I said he hasn't been great in the Premier League. I don't think he's been bad by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think he's been great either, but if that's your floor, Jesus Christ, man.
And listen, one thing though, you got to keep in mind, like, he's always going to be compared to the other right backs, the British ones, at least the English ones, the Trents, the Reece Jameses, who appear to have started the season pretty hot. So he always has that kind of, I don't know, monkey on his back. You know what I mean? Like, he's always going to be compared to Trent. He's always going to be compared to Reece James, and that type of pressure, I don't know how well he handles it. Like, between you and me, I don't know. Do you think he handles pressure well?
I mean, he's been the best right back in the world for two straight seasons. So, yeah, I think he's doing
You believe fun. That. You believe
it's a,
that.
It's a bona fide fact. Name me a better right back, bro. Come on. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, you say, this is my problem.
It's not a fact.
It's literally it's a fact. He won the most tackles last year, again, for the second straight. Oh, you're frozen, so I can't get your live reaction. He won the most tackles last year. He shuts down entire flanks by himself. Just because he had stats that were like, I think he had two assists less than Trent, who's supposed to be the second coming of Christ. Come on, bro. Like, this is ridiculous, man. This is what I don't get. Like, Colin does this so fucking much, and it vexes me because I think I side more with you. He just looks at things we don't have and wants them. He wants the new toy.
He wants the new flipping toy. But
that's
not a United fan thing, though.
It's everybody, bro. It's everybody who's headless, bro. I look at it, I'm just like, for example, Fred is the perfect example. People always shit on Fred, but they don't watch him play. They don't understand what Fred is. They don't get the myth or the idea of what Fred is. You know what I mean? And then you got I don't know, man. Like, if that's what you want, by all means, Trent can't defend for fucking shit. So whatever, bro. It's cool. It's fine. He needs Van Dijk to wipe his ass for him. Cool. Take that, bro. I'm sticking with Wan-Bissaka. I'm not hearing this, bro. I'm not hearing it. It gets me mad because you look at, I don't discredit, if you're talking purely offensively, sure, but the complete package, I want a guy that can lock someone down. I want a guy that when I see flipping Mahrez coming up on that left wing, for example, or flipping Sterling, that I don't have to worry about it. I don't want to have to worry about these big players. With Trent, you have to worry. With Reece James, you have to worry. With Wan-Bissaka, you don't. And he's proved it time and time again. I mean, you said it's not a fact that he's the best right back in the world. Who's better than him? Because I'm pretty sure when the whole Kimmich Wan-Bissaka argument came up, you said Wan-Bissaka, and then you said right after that Wan-Bissaka is the best right back in the world.
I never said, quote, Wan-Bissaka is the best right back in the world.
I can go through the group chat, bro. You know I have time on my hands.
I mean, you can try, but I never said that, quote unquote. I like him. I like Wan-Bissaka, but don't make this like a in and out on Wan-Bissaka. I like Wan-Bissaka. I'm just saying. You know, he starts the season a little questionably. You know, you saw Ollie, you didn't see Ollie do this, but you saw us linked with Trippier. It seemed pretty serious. It seemed like we wanted him. It seemed like the price was a little too high. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. We'll see what Dalot does in terms of the Champions League. He's obviously going to get a lot of minutes now and there, three games at least. And we'll see. I mean, he might get minutes in. I just had to look this up because I thought I knew this, but I wasn't too sure. So we do have the EFL Cup on Wednesday, so a week from today. So you're listening to this on Wednesday right now. or maybe you're listening to it Thursday, Friday, I don't know, but this is dropping Wednesday, and a week from when this drops, excuse me, we have West Ham in the EFL Cup. I think Dello gets that game as well.
We don't have a weekend game?
No, we do have a weekend game, okay. But we have a Sunday game, and then we have a Wednesday game too, but Wednesday game is the EFL Cup, and so I expect Dello to start that game. I'm not trying to jump too far ahead. I'm just kind of hammering home the point that we're going to see a right back play for quite a few games coming ahead. I did want to ask you about kind of two guys. One, Sancho, gets 30 minutes on the right wing. He gets the hook for, you know, going down 10 men to bring in the right back replacement. And then I also want to ask you about DVB. I don't know. Like, I want to talk about both of those guys. Which one do you feel like talking about first?
Whatever floats your boat, my friend.
Let's just do Sancho because he played less minutes. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think he started the game hot at all. I thought he started the game. I thought that was probably his worst 30 minutes for us. Granted, he doesn't have a lot of minutes for us. But I thought that first 30 minutes, man, he looked poor. I mean, there was one play, top of the right wing.
It was like a fast break. And then he tried like doing the thing where he like slides the ball across past the defender. And then the defender cleared it for a corner, right?
It was bad. Yeah, it was just like amateur hour stuff, honestly. And then a few kind of just like flick passes that were just poor. Like, what are you doing? Like, the guy's clearly not there. And then when he got subbed off, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't too confident he was going to get subbed off. But when I saw his number pull up, I was like, yeah, I mean, he's the worst player on the pitch right now. I guess that makes sense. I mean, were you surprised? Are you? I know we're not worried. We keep talking about we're going to give him a bunch of games. But this is the first time you're seeing him on the right wing. He gets the hook 30 minutes in. Come, like, what are your comments on that?
I mean, I don't know, man. It kind of was the same thing against Wolves. Like, we asked against Newcastle for him to just be more exciting, stop being scared, and he did that. And did it come off for him all the time? No. But then he just, like, went back to that Wolves form where he was just, like, kind of tentative, and he was double, like, he was hesitating. And I don't know if that's trying to fit into the team. He doesn't look comfortable in the team. That's the big thing.
He does. Yes. Preach.
He doesn't look comfortable playing in this setup. And like, I don't know if it's because he's 21 and he's adjusting. Didn't bother Mason Greenwood when he came into the team. And I kind of look at it and I'm disappointed for sure. Because like, I expect a lot of this guy, bro. Like, I've been championing him for 2 years. So like, there's a certain bar that needs to be met when you come into the side. And, like, I know things haven't exactly panned out for you, but, like, this is where the true, like, look, I'm not, I'm comparing a GOAT to just some young wonder kid, right? But, like, Cristiano Ronaldo came in, and again, this is an unfair comparison, and he hasn't lost a step. It's like he can form himself into any system that he plays in, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of, like, that's what the great players do. It doesn't, like, that's what separates people from being, like, good player to world class, is that there are no excuses for you. And, like, it seems like we're coming up with a lot for Sancho, so it is worrying to an extent.
What did we say? I don't even remember. What did we say? We said we give him, like, what, 3 months? He definitely has more time, right?
Well, I don't know. 3 months is a long time. 3 months. If he doesn't get a goal contribution within the next few games, then I think you have to drop
him. He doesn't have one, right?
He hasn't gotten a goal or an assist yet, so.
Ooh. We're playing Newcastle twice. Playing them Sunday and Wednesday. Just real quick.
Whoa, Sancho. Sunday? Again against Newcastle?
Sorry. West Ham. Jesus Christ.
So West Ham without Mike Antonio. That's huge.
Yeah, we're playing them Sunday, and then we're playing them Wednesday in the EFL Cup. I think Sancho starts both of those games.
Yeah, for sure.
If he doesn't get a goal contribution for both of those, are you clicking that panic button?
I don't know, man. Maybe there's a button that says slightly worried but not panic.
You're clicking the button that says prepare to click on the panic button.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I'm guilty of not giving certain new signings time, and I'm trying to treat this one differently. But again, at the same time, like, I feel like everything I've said is valid. Like, you can't be a world-class player if it takes you this time to adjust. And it's like, I know some people who are willing to give him the first year. I know
not world-class. People were saying to me, generational talent. And he might be. He still might be. I'm not saying he's not a generational talent. But just to be clear, that's what people are calling him. Generational talent. And it's early. It's early. I know it's early. I'm just saying that's what people were calling him. But I think he'll turn it around. I think these two West Ham games, he'll turn it around.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I just think he needs to get back to, like, it's almost, it's kind of like the whole Lingard thing. Everybody, when they were talking about Lingard's poor form, he was like, oh, he's trying too hard. He's not being himself, all this stupid stuff. I think it does come down to that. I think he just needs to find that swagger that he had at Dortmund, and he just needs to go with it.
And yeah, I think DVB in midfield?
What?
DVB in midfield.
I thought he was fine. I thought he was good. Yeah, he's probably our best passer in the midfield. But like,
I thought he looked good too. I thought he looked good. He was kind of, his positioning was a little shaky at times.
One other one we got to talk about after we talk about Pogba left wing was trash today.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game. But I'm not mad at this bad game because I do think he was a little like overrun by the fact that we were playing 10 men. I mean, he's a luxury player. We've said this time and time again, even on the left wing, and luxury players are the ones that are going to suffer the most when you're playing 10 men down. So I'm not mad. It's just kind of like you expect it, and it is what it is. DVB, though, I do want to touch on him playing in midfield. So I liked him next to Fred. I didn't think he was exceptional by any means, especially when we went 10 men down. I thought he kind of was exposed at that point. He didn't look great. Most of the team didn't look great, so it's hard to kind of point it at him. But I liked him. I liked him in midfield. I think he looked kind of nice with Fred there. His movement was a little shaky, but that's obviously something that he improves as he plays more in there. So I do think you should give him a run. I do think, I mean, this is young boys, early days. You know, he had the benefit of playing with Fred, who's going to do a lot of that ground covering with him. I think if he plays with Matic, most of our midfielders, when they play with Matic, it looks like a good fit too. So I think that's probably a good idea for him. I don't know what he would look like with McTominay at all. I have no idea. But I'm happy with it. I'm satisfied. I think we've gone from the stage where when I used to say DVB in midfield, or anyone used to say DVB in midfield, people would freak out. They're like, he's a 10, play him up top, play him right wing, don't play. Now I think the United fans, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, let me know what you think, I think are more willing and accepting to just see him play in a little bit of a deeper role.
I think he just needs to play, bro. I think people are just thirsty to see the guy play football. Bro, he had 4 starts for us in 35 games last year.
30-ish.
Like we spent 40 million on a guy, you expect to see him kind of in the rotation, you know what I mean? And I get it. Like, it's hard to dislodge a pivot that works so well. McFred, for example. But like, I think we're entering the territory where it's just Ollie just doesn't rate him. I just don't think Ollie actually rates him. I think Ollie is too nice of a guy to say it harshly, or he believes that he, because we have heard like Ollie can be ruthless, so it's probably not that. But maybe he does believe, he's like, listen, with time, I think I can make this guy special. It can make him into the player I want him to be. But I think we're gonna come to like a halt point or a crashing point where it's just gonna be like, yeah, it's just not gonna work. You know what I mean? Like, I think by next summer he's sold if he's not, if it's like this, because it's like,
for sure.
Like, I look at it and like, I don't think taking DVB off was the wrong decision because Fred was having a much better game. But like, part of me was just like, I'd rather see Fred be taken off just so I could see DVB play. Like, we just don't have any information on the guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can get all these stats and stuff about what he was like at Ajax or what he does for the Dutch team. I don't really care.
But at this point,
I just want to see what he does for Manchester United. So, like, I think that's where we're at right now. I don't, and like, again, it's not like a huge deal, like whatever. Like, he's a, honestly, he's a redundant nothing player. So
it's kind of harsh, bro.
But like, at the same, bro, like, I mean, come on, bro. Like, the guy just doesn't, he just straight up doesn't play a lot. So it's like, like, what do you want me to say? Like, Jesse Lingard's getting more time than this guy. Like, come on, man.
Should we talk about that Jesse Lingard pass?
I mean, I don't know what else to say, man. It was calamitous. That's like the only, it was diabolical. Like, I just, and this is actually something I wanted to bring up, is we as a team refuse to clear the ball. I just don't understand it. We always try and play out of the back. And at that point, there was like, what, a minute left? You should just take the L, accept that you're going to take the point, and then just heave it up. Just kick it up and then just reset
the. But we were towards the end of the game, we were just kind of heaving it.
No,
and clearing
Pogba,
it.
Pogba refuses to do it.
Pogba wasn't.
No,
that's true.
And
but
every
the defenders...
straight ball was going somehow ending up at Pogba's feet, refuses to do it, gave the ball away way too many times. Again, another clear sign why this guy can't play in the midfield. And then the Jesse Lingard one. And it's just like...
Diabolical is a perfect description.
That's the thing, if it's not match fixing, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what in your right mind was telling you, like, oh, let me play the back pass to De Gea, especially... like
You gotta be locked
because,
in at
like,
that point. Bro, there's seconds left in the game.
Young boys... after the red card, were bodying us. And that, like, by the nature of the game, like, and I'm not, and by the way, I don't respect young boys. This win doesn't make me any less worried or any more worried than I was going into the next game we play them. We're going to smash them 10-0. in the next game. I'm very confident in that. But like,
okay.
But like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just that, like, I looked at it and I was like, yep, they're coming down our throats. They're doing this. Okay, we're going to accept the point. And then it's like, you do that. And it's just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. To lose it that way hurts, yeah. Man. And they had chances too. They had plenty of goal scoring chances. Plenty of them, especially like off of corners and crosses and things like that. They were really exposing us. And to lose it like that, bro. And like, I'm sure, I don't know, like, be honest, like, if you're his teammate and you played, like, let's say you're Lindelof, right? And you just put in a crazy ass shift. I mean, Lindelof truly, like, that, he put in a shift and a half and he does that to you. Like, if you're Lindelof at that point, like, you're fuming, right? Like, you're, I don't say you're blaming the guy, but like, you really lose a lot of respect for your teammate when they do some shit like that to you. So I don't know. I mean, hopefully he gets over it. I don't know. Colin was saying, and I saw this on Twitter too, which was like, you know, Ollie's probably going to punish him for that. I think he probably will. And I think he,
I mean, I read his presser notes and he was backing him, which was good.
He, of course, publicly he's going to back him.
Because if it was Jose Mourinho, oh boy.
Exactly.
Oh boy.
If it was Jose Mourinho, I'll give you the quote. If it's Jose Mourinho, it's something along the lines of, you know, the boys worked so hard, 90 minutes, everyone was putting their head down. You know, there were some guys that, you know, weren't as focused. They weren't paying attention. And that's what they do. When you're not focused and you don't care about the sport.
Wow, that is like pretty much word for word what I would expect.
He would like throw him under the bus like that. But like Ollie's going to not do that, obviously. And I do think, I mean, he'll probably not play or touch pitch the next game, but he probably will against West Ham again.
He probably starts that game.
Yeah, I would hope.
But even still, like, if you want to be that guy that wants to, like, you have to, like, you got to put your money where your mouth is, too. Like, if you're going to say these things about Jesse, you can't just drop him because it doesn't mean anything. You're still Jose. You just didn't say you were Jose. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I expect
it. But no, but you got to back your boys in public, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in public, you're not going to throw someone under the bus because that's just, like, that's just kind of, like, hammering your own team. You know what I mean? Like, what does that do? Like, talk to the guy privately.
No, I know, like, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that, like, if you are going to back your boy like that, like, you can't just outright drop him for 10 straight games or... Well,
no, yeah.
That's
yeah.
What I mean. Because, like, I'm pretty sure the quote Colin said was, I don't want to see him near the team for the next five games. And I'm like, all right, we can relax. And it's just disappointing because we were just hyping up the fact that this was our year. This is the easiest group in the Champions League, bro. And we lost to the worst team in the group. And we have a team that we lost to a final to like 6 months ago. And then we have a team that is very known for being this high pressing, high. Like, we could easily not qualify for the Champions League group
if
we continue
off
like
of this.
And if it's like this, bro, like, I don't know, bro. You got to look at Ollie. It's an Ollie problem at that point. It's an Ollie problem because this team is too good, bro. Even Jose Mourinho with his washed out tactics, washed out mentality, like dinosaur park the bus stuff. He would still pass the group with this team. He got past the group stage with worse teams.
We have Villa Real and then we have Atalanta. Just as a reminder, if you don't remember who's in this group, Villa Real, obviously we know them. They beat us in the final, and then Atalanta is what, a hipster Serie A team? Can I call them that? Hipster Serie A team.
I mean, they can score goals. They score goals at will, but I don't know about them defensively. They did lose their best center back in the summer. So
I expect to smash them, honestly. The Villarreal game, I'm not going to underestimate them because obviously they beat us in a final. So I'm not going to underestimate them. But I would hope to beat them home and away, honestly. Like, we should be beating them, especially, like, you know me, I have no respect for the Spanish teams at all whatsoever. I really think...
So how do you have respect for young boys, bro?
It's not about having respect for them. It's like, it's about the moment, right? It's like, bro, when you're in the game and your opposition, the guy just got a red card and this is your chance to, like, prove yourself against, like, Ronaldo, against Bruno Fernandes, against Manchester United. Like, this is the time for you to have the game of your life. That's where I, like, believe, like, when I saw them building up that momentum, I don't know, maybe you thought they wouldn't keep that momentum. I just thought they would keep that momentum.
Well, I thought we would just be solid defensively. And, like, again, like, if even if you look at it, other than the first goal, which was, again, I'm blatantly calling it a Varane mistake. The second goal they scored was literally a fluke. It was off a direct.
I get that, but like if they didn't score that, they would have.
It would have been 1-1. It would have been 1-1.
Yeah, but they were pounding us. It's not like they didn't have other chances. You know what I mean? Like,
well, my thing is that for so long, Eames, for so long after Sir Alex is retired, all we've been hearing about is the old Manchester United, and then came a point probably in the 2019-2020 season where we just accepted that dream is dead. We're not going to do that. Then this summer happens. We have the best transfer window to ever exist in transfer windows. You go from there. And it's like, okay, like I was expecting us to instill that fear that in the tunnel, we're up 1-0. Like that's the fit. Yeah. And so that's why I'm like, yeah, we'll be fine, bro. Like it's just young boys. But like, and again, like even Ollie to an extent, like I think why bring on Lingard? Why bring on flipping Matic for DV?
No, Matic for DVB is fine. I agreed. Yeah, I agreed with those substitutions.
I didn't agree with the Lingard substitution.
I think you bring on Lingard because he runs. I mean, Lingard puts in a shift. He runs. Like, you put him, because he was playing basically like false nine, and you kind of just put him there and you just ask him, like, yo, run. Like, hopefully you get one of these clearance balls, because Lingard's also incredibly good at counterattacking. Like, that's all his game. Like, you looked at his best goals for West Ham, they were all crazy counterattacking goals. So I think that Lingard substitution, I agree with it 100%.
No, I actually disagree really with it because why take off both Bruno and Portugal? If you're expecting to counter two, like, if that's what you're thinking, then you might as well keep at least legs. One of them on.
You got to imagine those were, like, that had to do with legs. Otherwise, he would have taken out Pogba. Like, it had to do with, like, fitness. It had to, bro. Come on.
Nah,
it had to.
I don't believe it.
What? I think it had to.
Yeah, because they're literally going to play the next game. They would have played this 90 if assuming the substitutions were made, and they will literally start the next game. It's not about legs. Like, we know Ollie likes to drill. He was trying to go defensive, and it just didn't work out for him. That's what happened.
Should we preview West Ham on Sunday?
Yeah.
Real quick here.
What is it? West Ham, are we home or away?
We're away.
Okay, so that's good. They don't have Michel Antonio, but they're still like a super well-organized team.
Bro, they're so fun to watch. Listeners, if you haven't watched West Ham this season, like, you're missing out. They're a really fun team to watch. I'm sorry. I enjoy watching them. I like their games. I like their players. I think they have really, really good players. I like Jared Bowen. Or is it Jared Bowen?
Yeah. Not Bowen.
Bowen.
Yeah, you said Bowen first.
Yeah, I know. I said with an M. I like him a lot. Obviously, my Algerian compatriot, Barrahma, I think he's really, really good, bro. I think he's been super good for them this season. I think Fornals is good. I like Declan Rice. I really like Declan Rice. I like Suchek. Obviously, Antonio. I've been on the Antonio bandwagon for a while now. But this season, the number 9 on his back, guy's in beast mode.
Yeah, but he's like, not playing,
I like
so.
Him.
No need to worry about
it. I know,
him.
I'm glad he's missing out. So I don't know. I like their players. I like watching them. I think they're a fun team to watch. I think by missing Antonio, that's going to be huge for them. And that for me is like a really, really big deal because that helps us a ton. I am worried about them from a goal threat perspective. They get goals. They really do. They figure out how to score goals. They have tidy players, guys that are like good on the ball, guys that are good at counterattacking as well, especially. So going into this game, I don't know. I mean, we're away from home. Our away form is quite literally incredible. I guess
we lost away from home literally today
in the Premier League. Sorry, in the Premier League. Okay. I should have specified. I don't know. Like, who would you start? Like, let's just do quick starting lineups. Who would you start?
De Gea, obviously. I think you go same back four, except Lindelof out for Varane, because I think Varane will. Like, the other goal threat I'm worried about with Antonio out is Suchek. Like, I don't know how the guy does it, but he just scores an incredible amount of goals.
Buckets.
So you bring in Varane to counteract that, hopefully. I mean, we'll see. Midfield, I think by now McTominay should be healthy.
I think so, too.
So if he is, you start the McFred pivot, especially after such a loss, like just an embarrassing loss. You need to come out to the next game and perform. We never talk about that, but like you need to like atone for the performance we just watched.
Statement games.
Front three, I think it's front four, including Bruno.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah,
I think it's going to be what we saw against Wolves. Sancho left wing, Greenwood right wing, and then Ronaldo up top. I think you bench Pogba. Okay.
I'm gonna go.
You're gonna put Pogba in midfield. We know it. Or you're gonna drop Sancho.
Wait. So I'll give you what I want to see and what I think will happen. I think it will be the exact same lineup that played against Wolves. I think he's gonna play Pogba in midfield.
Matic.
Yeah, I think he goes Matic Pogba. I think he goes Matic Pogba in midfield. I think that's what he does. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Fred plays. What I want to see is obviously same back five as you.
Wait, you said Wolves, right? Or did you mean Newcastle? Yeah. Because Wolves...
I meant Newcastle.
Yeah, my fault. I think Fred started with Pogba against Wolves.
Yeah, my fault. I meant to say Matic, Pogba in midfield with Sancho, Greenwood on the wings, Bruno, and then Ronaldo. That's what I think he'll play. What I would like to see is same back five, like I said, same as you. I would probably, obviously, I'd like to see McTominay, Fred. You got to go with the McFred pivot against West Ham. Against all like the, I don't want to call West Ham the big game, but against all the teams that are a genuine proper-ass goal threat and teams that are in the top half of the table, you do McFred. I think that's unquestionable at this point. So I'd love to see McFred back. If McTominay's not ready, I'd like to probably just go with Matic Fred.
Matic Fred?
Yeah, I would go Matic. I wouldn't play Pogba in midfield against West Ham. No way. You don't do that against a team that's so good at counterattacking. You just don't. I mean, like, because we know he loses the ball in midfield a ton, and we know he doesn't track back. We know people walk by him at times. So you just don't play him in midfield against West Ham. You just don't. I don't think he will. I really think Pogba's going to start. I think he's going to start left wing. I think right wing, he'll probably go Greenwood. I think he sits Sancho for this one. I think he goes Greenwood right wing, Pogba left wing, and then obviously Bruno Ronaldo up top. And then we probably got to wrap up here, but for score prediction, I'm going to go 3-1 to United. I don't think we keep a clean sheet.
Like we ever, bro. We literally went out, signed this legendary center back, and we still can't keep a clean sheet. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, man. I think 3-1 United. I think we do get on the score sheet quite a bit because I don't think West Ham's defense is really that good. I'm going 3-1 United. What about you?
I'll go for a 1-1 draw because I predicted like a 7-0 win against Young Boys and we ended up losing. That's my only rationale for it. I'm just not messing with the jinx anymore. 1-1 draw, baby.
Who do you think scores?
Ronaldo. By the way, we haven't even talked about that goal, bro. Like, I get it's all doom and gloom for us and we lost and whatever, bro. But that is some flipping champagne football, bro.
That ball from Bruno. And then he's just always in the right place.
I don't understand it, man. Like, how is he still this good, bro? He's 36.
Someone needs to tell me. They need to call me, text me, and explain to me how he's this good. Bro. It's IQ. I mean, like, his IQ is unmatched.
It's not even just IQ, bro. It's just, like, the will to want to win, bro. How are you still so hungry? You've done all this before. You've won this trophy. Yeah. Why are you still hungry for more? And, like...
I think he just walks on the field and he just says to himself, like, I'm getting at least a goal.
It's not even just that. It's more like... Like, you look at... Like, bro, like, I know... And this isn't, like, you know, this really isn't United talk, to be specific, but, like... Flipping Messi, bro, like, he could have showed some ambition. He could have showed the will to want to win, but he went to PSG. He sold his soul. He's like, I'm going to PSG, and this is it. Like, this is what I'm doing. And then he's probably going to go back to Barca and retire. And, like, that's kind of how I look at, like, Michael Jordan. Like, when the going got tough for Michael Jordan, he retired. And then came back when the thing was set up for him. You look at guys like LeBron and Ronaldo, who are just like, I'm chasing GOAT status. I'm chasing this status as wanting to be the best ever. You know what I mean?
Well, that's probably a good topic for maybe like a next international break. We could probably talk about that.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just saying, like, it's wild, but.
No, I hear you.
But yeah, tough day for the Reds, but we'll bounce back. I'm glad actually, and this is real AFTV talk, but like, I'm really glad that like they came out in like Instagram and were like, we're not done. Like, don't think we're done. You know what I mean? They didn't hide from the moment. They accepted we were shit and we're coming back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah. AFTV talk. It is. It really is.
So like, I just wanted to throw that in there. So we'll be back and we'll see what happens against West Ham Sunday.
Sunday, yes, sir.
Alrighty. You can catch me on Twitter at SnackMite. You can catch Eames at The Faux Brit, and you can catch Colin at El Chico Uno. Keep it locked with the United Pulse podcast at United Pulse Pod on Twitter. We'll catch you after the West Ham game. Peace.